This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. A person of potential, not a potential person, is the best description of a human embryo since life begins at conception. Not all embryos are formed by normal sexual interaction. Some couples with infertility problems have resorted to what's called in vitro fertilization, whereby the woman's egg is fertilized outside of her body. But sometimes, these persons of potential are not used. Lutheran Senior Services in Iowa, a nonprofit organization, has teamed with another nonprofit organization, Nightlight Christian Adoptions, to find Christian families for these humans of potential. Embryos are donated to Nightlight, not purchased. They then work with Lutheran Family Services to find suitable Christians who will raise the child to know the love of Jesus Christ. My guest today is Iowa Family Services Director of Pregnancy Counseling and Adoption, Kim Labey, who talks about the program, its aims, and procedures.
And now today's Fast Track.
I'm Sarah Golseth with news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. On June 8, the Reverend Antonio Reyes, President of the Lutheran Church in the Philippines, and the Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, signed a protocol agreement encouraging and strengthening the official relationship between the two church bodies. The agreement reflects the need for mutual support against cultural pressures by holding to the scriptures and the Lutheran confessions. Reyes noted that the Philippine Church welcomes the agreement as a significant commitment between the two church bodies. Independent Baptist pastor Donald Acevarda has been granted his request for an appeal scheduled for September 19 in Oryol, Russia. He is the first American citizen charged under Russia's new anti-terror laws, which place new restrictions on individuals and organizations' abilities to freely practice their religious beliefs. Pastor Acevarda was levied a fine of 40,000 rubles, or $621, under Russia's anti-terror laws after he was sentenced for conducting rituals and ceremonies associated with religious activities without proper authorization. The Chaplain Alliance for Religious Liberty is expressing gratitude to the 8 members of Congress who recently sent a letter to House Armed Services Committee Chairman Mac Thornberry concerning the Department of Defense policy permitting people who identify as transgendered to serve in the military. In a recent conference call with chaplain endorsers, a senior Pentagon official outlined implications of the policy change. In that call, chaplain endorsers raised the need to respect the faith or moral convictions of chaplains and medical personnel. The request, to date, has garnered no action. On September 6, Chaplain Wes Motter received his honorable discharge and a Medal of Commendation from the Navy. For the past 2 years, Motter, a decorated Navy chaplain and former Marine, was at the center of a religious freedom firestorm that caught the attention of national political leaders and media. At his retirement, his 21-year career ended in victory. Motter, who served as force chaplain for Navy Special Warfare Command, came under fire after a few sailors objected to the biblical views Motter expressed during private counseling sessions. In response, the Navy removed Motter from his unit and threatened to end his career. First Liberty Institute defended Motter, escalating the case to the highest levels of Navy command, resulting in the Navy clearing Motter of all charges and restoring him to full service. In an official retirement ceremony held aboard the USS Midway, Motter was awarded the Navy and Marine Corps Commendation Medal and received his honorable discharge. The Department of Health and Human Services released a proposed rule that seeks to ban any recipient of Title X federal funding for family planning from excluding potential funding recipients for reasons unrelated to its ability to provide services. The rule would effectively prevent states from defunding abortion providers.
World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis. And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man. No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
Hi, I'm Pastor William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship. Jesus said some hard things in John 6, and lots of his disciples turned away and stopped following him. He asked the 12 if they wanted to go too. Peter responded for them all, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Words of eternal life, those are the words your Jesus has for you. Join me for the next broadcast of Thy Strong Word, 11 a.m. Central on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
There's a special place where rare books from times long ago come alive in your imagination. A special place where you can rediscover values that transcend time itself. A special place of adventure, mystery, and drama that's both old and new at the same time. Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by the Hehewee Longasi, Lutheran Fahama.
I'm Kip Allen, host of World Lutheran News Digest. My guest today is Kim Laube. She is the Director of Pregnancy Counseling and Adoption for Lutheran Family Services in Iowa. You are involved in a program called Embryo Adoption, working with a group called Snowflake Embryo Adoption Program. What is this about? Explain who you are, Lutheran Family Services, and then go into what is embryo adoption.
Sure. Thank you, Kip. It's a pleasure to be your guest today. Thank you so much for inviting us. As you mentioned, I direct the Pregnancy Counseling and Adoption Program at Lutheran Family Service in Iowa. We are involved in what would be a traditional adoption of domestic infant adoption, international adoption, and then a relatively new concept and program for us is embryo adoption. And we do that in conjunction or in partnership with Nightlight Christian Adoption's Snowflake program. And let me explain. Embryo adoption is a type of adoption that occurs first when embryos are created through a process of in vitro fertilization, which your listeners might be somewhat familiar with. And in that process of in vitro fertilization, sometimes there are embryos that are left over, if you will. And I realize that's a difficult term to use with a human being, but sometimes there are several embryos that are created during this process, and not all of them are able to be implanted and brought to birth through the family who created them. And so what that has really, what's happened is there are over 600,000 embryos who are frozen in the United States. I'd like to give your listeners who maybe are not as familiar with the process the understanding that an embryo is the very beginning stages of life. These are 3, 4, 5, 6-celled human beings that have already gone through the process of conception. That conception has started in a petri dish.
And as we know, life begins at conception. It doesn't matter if it's just the one cell or six cells or a fully grown person. It is
Correct. It is life. So that is not potential life, but that is life with potential. And so what happens during that process is those embryos who are not being implanted into the womb of the mother right away are frozen. And sometimes they're kept in this frozen state indefinitely because the family, the creating family, is not sure what to do. Maybe they've already had several children born to them through this process already, and they feel their family is complete. Or perhaps there was a death of one of the couple, or there was a divorce. But whatever the situation is, there are so many frozen embryos in the United States right now. Like we said, the last census was in 2011. There were over 600,000 at that time that were accounted for. And, of course, that's going to increase exponentially over these past 5 years, because there's many IVF procedures still happening, and many are creating several embryos. So here's the important point. Why are we involved in this even at all?
Life affirmation.
That's right. At life affirmation. So we know that this is one of the largest tribes, if you will, in the United States of children who have not been able to hear the word of God, have not received baptism, are in this state of flux as to where their existence is going to be. And we would like to have an impact on that, and to bring the possibility of life to these embryos through the process of embryo adoption. We sometimes refer to it as embryo rescue. And so what we're doing is applying the best practices of adoption that we've learned through, we've been doing adoptions here at this agency since 1901, and we've learned a thing or two about the importance of the social work that surrounds adoption. And so what we're doing here is to prepare families for the possibility of having an embryo adopted by their family and then implanted in the woman's uterus. And we're praying that child is going to implant and a pregnancy is going to occur. But we're preparing them through home study and vetting their family to make sure that they're a safe and appropriate families for children. Families who have learned and have been educated about the process of adoption and what it's like to raise a family through adoption.
Now, a potential family would come to you with Lutheran Family Services and say, we're thinking about adoption, or we're having an infertility problem. Where do we go from here?
Absolutely. Yes, we receive many inquiries every day in regards to couples who are looking to either grow their family through adoption, or perhaps they have, a couple who has had infertility that they've dealt with for a few years, and they're wondering, where do they go from here? And we are, at that point, we'll talk about all sorts of different possibilities for adoption, including embryo adoption. And that couple would go through the same type of pre-investigation home study that couples who are receiving children through domestic adoption or international adoption would go through. So all the same types of safety mechanisms, talking about the stability of their marriage, understanding the family's finances, and then the biggest chunk of what we do really in a home study process is education. And so really educating the family about the embryo adoption process and talking to them about open adoption and the importance of communication in the future, and just making sure they understand all the processes there, that are there, and establishing a good, solid relationship with that couple so that we can walk beside them as they're growing their family and their children are born to them, and that we can stay in relationship with them.
And of course, being with Lutheran Family Services, one of the prime concerns is that these people are people of faith, that they know Christ.
Absolutely. So our agency has requirements that would be beyond what the state would require, and that would include that they must be a Christian couple, married for a minimum of 3 years. They need to be a heterosexual couple, and then they need to be able to meet all the state standards. So they need to be of good health, where they don't have a situation that's going to cause, potential early death and that type of thing. So we're gonna follow all those state rules, but we also add to our own the very important point that what we're doing here is creating Christian families, with wanting to bring a child who is in need, an orphan in need, to a family who is going to share the love of Jesus Christ with them. And that's our point in being involved in embryo adoption, is to create those Christian families. And so that's a big part of what we do.
Also, I wanted to bring out, when you do a normal adoption, if I can use that phrase, you would go to an agency that, again, is a Christian-based one that is a nonprofit, that they're not making money off the adoptions, that they're not turning it into a factory. Now, we've also got the same situation here now with the embryo broker, if you will, a Christian adoption group. This is a nonprofit group that is Christian, and they specifically work with Christian groups like yourself. Is this correct?
They do seek us out as Christian groups to work with us, and they are not for profit, exactly. And then our organization is also not for profit. And our goals are similar in the rescue of these frozen embryos, that they might be brought to good Christian families.
And that they are life-affirming, that these embryos will not pass without knowing God.
That is our hope. But let me be clear that there are, when the embryos are placed into the uterus of the woman, there is the same sort of chance, statistically speaking, as children who are created in a sexual reproduction in this manner. Also, about 34% of those children will implant, and they will be, you know, the pregnancy will continue and be brought to birth. The education that we provide is that there is no, we're not going to end life purposely in any way. So there's no reduction of pregnancy should one of the embryos split into twins, or, you know, that they wind up with this multiple pregnancy. So we talk about those things in advance, in that everything that we're doing here is life affirming and not intentionally ending life.
Now, something I'd read in one of the newsletters is that the very first person who was created through this process is a young lady now out in California, and she's a Lutheran.
That's right. Yes. I was delighted to learn this as well. The first embryo adoption program was created in 1997 by Christian Nightlight Adoptions, the one we're talking about. And the first family that went through this process and wound up with a beautiful baby girl born to them in 1998 is a Christian family, an LCMS family in Anaheim, California. And we're looking forward to having some great interaction with Hannah, who is now 18 years old, at an upcoming fundraising dinner here in Iowa in regards to embryo adoption.
And I'm sure she has a lot to say about embryo adoption. After all, this is why she's here.
Exactly. I'm certain that she does. I think she'll give us all a perspective that, you know, our hope is that those who are attending and those that are listening today will understand that this is life. We're not talking about potential life. We're talking about the lives of children who are unborn that God loves. And Hannah will bring certainly the realness of identity of these children to the listeners during that dinner, and I hope that your listeners are able to take that away as well, because it can be very easy to talk about concepts, but we're talking about people.
You're right, and this is one of the biggest dangers, I think, when we start discussing issues like whether it's abortion or whether it's adoption or whether it's embryo adoption, is we forget we are dealing with people. We're dealing with souls here.
Right. No, that is absolutely it. We're dealing with people. We're dealing with souls, and it can be difficult for people to attach to that, especially when you say, well, perhaps you would be better served by compromising yourself and working within the foster care system in order of following whatever the state rules might be in order to do those placements. And I would say there is an absolute need with those children who are in foster care or children who are in orphanages internationally. And we will do whatever we can do to work within all of those aspects of saving and bringing children into Christian families within the rules that we have. And we talked a little bit about the requirements and so forth. So, you know, as you can see, this is an opportunity for us to work with these specific children who are in a preborn state. But it can be difficult for people to necessarily make that connection and understand.
So how do people learn about this? I'm sure that you mentioned that yours is largely an educational procedure. How could people find out the information? What's the truth about all this?
Absolutely. Well, first, certainly our website would be one area to go to, and so I'll give that a plug, and that is lfsiowa.org. And there are two other websites that I think would also be really helpful for people in regards to education about embryo adoption. And one of them is called the Embryo Adoption Awareness Center. And this is really, my understanding here is this has been a set up by a federal grant because the government is saying, hey, we need to do something about this in regards to the number of embryos that we have in the United States that have no next steps. And so that is embryoadoption.org. And so there's information there as well. And then, of course, our partnering agency, nightlight.org, and the Snowflakes program descriptions that are there. There are really a number of videos that people can watch and help understand. I'll tell you, there are many people that feel that they would, because they have infertility issues, that they're automatically disqualified from, you know, being able to perhaps be involved in embryo adoption. And really, that's not the truth of it. A woman doesn't necessarily need to have a healthy cycle. She needs to have a healthy uterus. And so, there, of course, the doctor needs to make the indication on whether or not they would be able to carry a pregnancy. But there are, I certainly would like to be able to make sure that people understand that there is that possibility, and they shouldn't necessarily count themselves out as, you know, having that opportunity for embryo adoption until they're certain medically.
Well, we know that infertility is certainly a major problem for many, many couples, especially here with our Lutheran family. And I think you're right where you say a lot of them will just give up and not realize that there's so many other options available. Like this particular one, I don't think is all that widely known.
Right, right. I believe you're correct about that. One of the things that we do here in Iowa is to try and have seminars in the different parts of the state where we have offices so we can, you know, bring some of that education, and then also taking that right into our congregations as well. I've had the opportunity to speak at many of our Iowa congregations with our LWML and other groups within the Lutheran Church to really talk to them about the possibility of embryo adoption. And for some of them, it's not, you know, they're past that stage in life, but many of them know their daughters or their granddaughters who are currently suffering through infertility and who would really love to have this opportunity. But Kip, I'll tell you also, there are families that reach out to us who are not necessarily struggling with infertility, but who really do understand the plight of the embryo who is waiting for what might be next, and trying to give an opportunity for them for their life to continue on, to be born, and to experience all that we do.
I'm not going to say a task. It's quite a challenge. 600,000 embryos frozen. That number just boggles the mind.
Right. Right. And really, quite frankly, it's, you know, there are guesstimates right now that it's probably closer to 1 million, because that census was taken of the various cryo centers and fertility clinics and so forth in 2011. And that's when the 600,000 number came out. So it really is probably quite a bit more than that now, although an official census hasn't been taken since 2011.
One thing you said that really impressed me was that the standards that you are holding for adoption are actually more stringent than the state requirements.
Right, right. And we do that for a specific purpose. This is a Christian ministry. This isn't us, you know, this probably sounds harsh to some of your listeners, and I don't mean it in that regard, but we don't exist in order to find children for families who wish to be parents. We exist to help the orphan to find Christian families that will raise them to know Jesus Christ. And so sometimes that really matches up with the right goal. If we have, you know, a Christian family who is, you know, dealing with infertility, and other times we're not the right agency for a couple who's struggling with infertility if they don't meet those requirements that we're talking about with being a Christian home, a heterosexual marriage. We are not involved in those things. That is not what the goal of this organization is.
And there is some governmental interference, I think, in certain areas. For example, I know in the state of Illinois, our neighboring state, where they have disqualified certain religious groups from helping adoption because of the restriction of just doing it with heterosexual couples.
Right. Well, I've certainly seen our fair share in Iowa as well, Christian organizations that are very similar to ours that have decided to let their adoption licenses go because they are feeling the heat, if you will, of the government and what the expectations are. And so, Kip, here's the difference. At Lutheran Family Service, we have not taken any government dollars for any of the programs that we do. So we're an adoption agency, but we also do mental health counseling, and we do work within our congregations. But none of the money that we receive are grants from the government or from the state. And that way, we're in no way tied that money might be removed from us from the threat that we are, you know, discriminating or something of that nature. So certainly an organization of ours might be at risk for a couple who was angry that we wouldn't provide a service for them. But we are not really at risk in regards to having any government grant taken from us, because we've never taken them. And certainly there are other organizations in the past that have taken that grant money, and I think they feel very much that those programs would be at risk if they were to continue on with an adoption program that does not, you know, that isn't inclusive. So it's certainly an interesting world we're living in.
Now, you mentioned a Christian home, but we're a Lutheran agency. We're not restricting this solely to Lutherans who are coming in. We want to know that they are Christians as we recognize Christians. Is that correct?
That is correct, Kip. And so absolutely they have to be Christians as we recognize Christians. And if there's any question, as you know, there are some religions and so forth that, boy, if there's any question on my part at all, you better believe I'm on the phone with our executive director who's a pastor and say, okay, explain this to me. Does this work? And we, you know, have a more full understanding. But they need to not only be Christian in namesake, but they need to be active in their congregation with a pastor who's willing to interact with me by filling out a referral sheet for the family so that we have an understanding of their commitment to being part of that Christian congregation. So, you know, we're pretty dedicated to the idea of making sure that we have Christian families.
Well, Ms. Lamy, we're running out of time, and I want to give you the opportunity once more to let the people know how they can contact you, find out about this this program, and where to go from there.
Right. Okay. Well, Kip, if you have listeners that are in Iowa, they can contact me at 515-251-4900. But if you have couples that are outside of the state of Iowa that are interested in this program, I would strongly encourage them to call Nightlight directly and to do that at 502-423-5780.
And your website once again is?
My website is lfsiowa.org.
Kim Lobby, Director of Pregnancy and Counseling Adoption from Lutheran Family Services in Iowa. I thank you so much for being on a program today, and God bless you and your work.
God bless you too, Kip. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. and again at 9:30 a.m. Saturday Central Time on Worldwide KFUO. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Wednesday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.